Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all who attended our third annual Lights On Banquet. It was a wonderful evening. Every table full, the meal prepared by Lou of Have It Wired was scrumptuous. The God and Gun Clinger Home Defense Kit, a leather-bound Bible provided by the Lighthouse, a Springfield Loaded 45 provided by Pat and Patricia of Pat's Automotive, and a Front Sight Diamond membership provided by Phil Tate of Tate's Avocado was awarded to a true God and Gun Clinger. And the live brain massage was received very well. I've got to tell you, folks, I really enjoy the live audience venue of this thing. With all of you flicking on your lights on pin throughout, loved it. Awesome evening and a very warm, heartfelt thank you to all of you who contributed to help us keep this show on the air. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Okay, folks, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal.
Well, looky here. Obama quotes the Bible on the issue of immigration. With his arm around the shoulder of a big bucks Democrat donor in this picture, who happens also to be a homosexual, who happens also to have been recently arrested for raping a 15-year-old boy, I wonder. Terrence Bean, multimillionaire, a one percenter for sure, a gay activist, quote, has been arrested for homosexual assault on a child, end quote. Terrence founded one of the world's largest, wealthiest, and most powerful anti-Christian organizations in America, HRC, or Human Rights Campaign. I guess Mr. Bean considered it his duty, after all. The 15-year-old boy he raped had a human right, right? To have sex with him. Sort of like those sodomites of yore who demanded the strangers, a biblical term for immigrant, by the way, who visited their city, be turned over to them to be initiated into the culture of the sodomites by force. Genesis 19. They seem to like to force their thing on you, you know, forcing their will on others. Characteristic of the sodomite culture and a characteristic Obama shares with them, among others, you know. Forcing his will, as with Obamacare, and now using executive power, I should say abusing executive power, to circumvent the law of the land by declaring he will not enforce the laws he made an oath to uphold. But that should not surprise us. The man truly is a notorious liar. I wonder why Obama does not quote the Bible on homosexuality, but he does not hesitate to quote the Bible on immigration. Yeah, we shouldn't be surprised, you know. He blames Bush for everything, but then quotes him on the issue of immigration. Anyway, he told the violent law-breaking protesters in Ferguson to stay the course. Well, what course? The course of contempt for law and order, the course of refusing to accept the truth about what went down, and the truth about the character of the thug who attacked the officer and was shot in the process. How about the course of Muslim radicals and Black Panther thugs who are injecting themselves into that Ferguson debacle, or the occupiers who are there, along with other anti-American groups who have co-opted the controversy in Ferguson to advance their own agenda to bring America to her knees in lawlessness? It's an attack on law and order, don't you see that? It's obvious that the Ferguson mob is attempting to intimidate the court and force them to rule in fear of racial retaliation. Wherever there is a movement toward breaking down the rule of law, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but it seems that Obama interjects himself right in the middle of it. He has positioned himself at the very center of the breakdown of law and order in this country. Let's look at Obama's amnesty speech as an example. And immediately, there she is, rolling her eyes and muttering something about me being ignorant since Obama didn't grant amnesty. Technically, that's true, but honestly, that is what he's doing. So I'll go with honestly, and you can hang on with technically. Let's talk about Obama's latest expectoration into the face of Lady Justice. Let's look at Obama's latest effort to force his agenda on the American people on behalf of the lawless and with the help of the clueless. First, we'll look at the speech itself. He opens by setting up his mirrors and then blowing his smoke. Like I warned you in last week's brain massage, don't let the liberals get away with cloaking their lawless agenda in the garments of lawful immigration. He talks about immigration shaping our character as a nation, keeping our nation dynamic and entrepreneurial, and so forth. But what does that have to do with illegal immigration? Legal migration has certainly benefited this country, but that is not the question before us, now is it? And it's the work of a liar to attempt to connect illegal migration with the benefits of legal migration. Then he says, quote, "But today our immigration system is broken and everybody knows it." Well, hey, who broke it? What immigration system is he talking about? Is he talking about his de facto immigration system that I mentioned last week? Or is he talking about the legal immigration system that is not being enforced? This is maddening. The only thing broken about our immigration system is that the laws aren't being enforced. It's broken because of the refusal of Obama and company to enforce the laws that are on the books. I've asked it over and over, and I'm still waiting for an answer. Why do the Democrats refuse to address the onerous and sometimes penalizing policies hindering legal immigration while at the same time working incessantly to encourage illegal immigration? Why do they want illegals and not legals? What is it about illegal immigrants that makes them so interesting to Democrats? Why don't they focus on making the legal process more open instead of focusing all their attention on rewarding the lawless? Why not reward those attempting to come here legally? Eh? How can this man complain about a broken immigration system when he is one of the chief architects of its brokenness? I mean, it's enough to make a wise man mad. Ecclesiastes 7:7, ever watch a snake move? It turns left and right, it slithers left and right, coils up, uncoils, slithering along. A perfect metaphor for Obama speak, watch. Quote, families who enter our country the right way and play by the rules watch others flout the rules. Business owners who offer their wages, good wages, benefits, see the competition exploit undocumented immigrants by paying them far less. Again, this is a transcript, by the way. Perhaps I should have gotten a copy of his speech. I'm using a transcript, but I like to do that because if you read his speeches transcripted, you can see the man has a hard time really speaking clearly at all. But we get his point. So here he is claiming the sympathy of those who immigrated here legally, as if they agree with him. But all the studies I've seen show those who came here legally resent those who come here illegally and resent them getting a pass. But that's beside the point, actually, for the moment. Think about what this snake is saying. He unbelievably turns an argument for deportation into an argument for virtual amnesty. That's right. Mr. President alleged those who came here legally resent it when those who came here illegally steal their jobs. Then he moves towards sympathizing with, quote, all of us who take offense to anyone who reaps the rewards of living in America without taking on the responsibilities of living in America. And again, beside the point, unrelated to the question at hand, smoke, mirrors, lies. Look, the issue before us has nothing to do with any concern we might have about those who, quote, reap the rewards of living in America without taking on the responsibilities of living in America, end quote. This is something called premise shifting, and it's a device of deceivers. The issue is not that if only these people would take on the responsibilities of citizenship, well then, in that case, the fact that they broke the law would not matter. You see, that's not the point of the debate. And you see what I mean? He's shifting the premise of the debate to one upon which he can make an appeal to you that you'll have to sympathize with. We're not talking about people taking advantage of living in America who refuse to accept the responsibilities of living in America. For heaven's sakes, my friend, we're talking about people who violated our laws and then are being rewarded for doing it. Good night if you want to talk about the people in this country who take advantage of living here without taking on the responsibilities that go with being American. Well, that would broaden the scope of our debate dramatically, now wouldn't it? How about all the welfare fraud, all the medical fraud? How about all the tax cheats, you know, like that fellow Obama appointed to Treasury Secretary, Geithner? These are people who take advantage of living in America without accepting responsibilities of citizenship. And these are people Obama rewards. In fact, if you pay attention, you will notice Obama consistently supports, encourages, indeed, he is the champion of those in America who take advantage of living here while throwing the responsibilities of citizenship onto the shoulders of their neighbors. So let's talk about that sometime, eh? But right now, what we're talking about is people breaking our laws and being rewarded for doing so. And so after shifting the premise from law breaking to responsibility taking, he then says, quote, And undocumented immigrants who desperately want to embrace those responsibilities see little option but to remain in the shadows or risk their families being torn apart, end quote. Wow. You see, in other words, folks, it's our fault. These lawbreakers don't come forward and take their responsibilities as citizens. And first of all, look, I question whether, in fact, these lawbreaking illegals, quote, unquote, desperately want to step up to their responsibilities. They've made a life hiding in the shadows for themselves in this country precisely by skirting these responsibilities. And besides all that, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but Obama's attempting to call these people out of the shadows by offering them a, quote, temporary, end quote, legalization of their presence here. He knows that most of these people don't trust the government whose laws they have violated. Does he think these people are stupid and won't reason that if they come out of the shadows and take this temporary relief, what's going to happen when temporary expires? But you see, the temporary is really probably for the rest of us, a bit of the venom in his deceit to numb the mind so that those who oppose amnesty will relax and his union buddies will relax. It's interesting, you know, if you think about it. You know, what are the unions thinking and saying about this? I can't find anywhere where a spokesperson for the unions has anything to say about this. How did Obama get them quiet? Obama is so committed to his union, but perhaps he intends to herd these illegals into the unions, which would be the only reason I can think of the unions would support this. I mean, this is a made-to-order union angering proposition, my friend. Flooding the market with laborers who can compete with citizens for work that is already scarce. So there is no doubt in my mind that Obama is thinking he will herd these illegals into the union workforce, or that he dropped the word temporary in there on purpose. So that when temporary runs out and the labor unions cry about job scarcity, the Obama government will have names and addresses and so on to go after these people and deport them. And at that time, you can bet Obama will sound as conservative as Goldwater. But back to the trick of premise shifting. Obama refuses to address the real issue in this debate, which is law and order, justice, righteousness. And instead, he focuses on sentiment. He paints the illegals as poor and pitiful creatures afraid that their families will be torn apart. Now, I suppose anyone else who violates the law would be concerned about their family being torn apart, don't you? What about all the criminals throughout America who are arrested for violating the law and taken from their families and put in jail? Should we look at all inmates in prison for crimes they've committed and say, we can't tear their families apart? We need to find a way to grant them a pardon for their crimes. Well, you might say, well, hey, illegal immigration is not a crime on a par with these crimes that break families apart because of convictions. Oh, really? There are many in prison for tax evasion, are there not? You consider tax evasion a sufficiently serious crime to warrant tearing a family apart, don't you? Obama sure does. And as he admitted, all these illegals are evading their responsibility to pay their taxes, which is apparently the only crime Obama considers serious. Yet, he is willing to forgive them for their back taxes, if only they will come out of the shadows and take the responsibility to begin paying their taxes from here on out. You see, only tax cheats like Timothy Geithner and illegal aliens get a pass from Obama on the tax issue. If you're a Tea Party supporter and you violate tax law, look out, a la Dinesh. In that case, Obama's administration is on the warpath with one goal in mind: to tear you away from your family, to tear a family apart. He'll tear families apart if they're Tea Party families. I hope you're seeing through the smoke and mirrors of this snake. I'm running out of time for this segment, but I think you can see what I'm saying. The snake slithers left and slithers right, left and right, sending his tongue out, you know, to get a read on the environment focus groups. And then he comes back with stuff like, quote, even as we are a nation of immigrants, we are also a nation of laws. Undocumented workers broke our immigration laws, and I believe that they must be held accountable, especially those who may be dangerous, end quote. So, he believes they should be held accountable. Okay. Well, later he says, quote, we expect people who live in this country to play by the rules, end quote. Ha! Yeah, like, when are you going to start doing that, Obama? Anyway, then he explains what he means by holding them accountable. He means that since they have broken our laws, we're going to offer them a deal. And the deal is conditioned upon some things that he lists, and at the bottom line, it's this. If you're willing to pay your taxes, we'll let you stay without fear of deportation. You could come out of the shadows and get right with the law, end quote. But there is one word in this that is going to undo it, and it's the word temporary. He said, you'll be able to stay in this country temporarily without fear of deportation, quote unquote. Until the word temporarily is defined and explained, the illegals are going to balk at coming out of the shadows, I'll bet. Okay, I wanted to deal with, let me see now. What is my time? Well, no time. All right, wait till you find out that Obama's deal actually has nothing to do with deportation. and everything to do with granting 3-year work permits to people who came here illegally. I'll be right back.
Calling all Lights On listeners to The Brain Massage Show. Keep the lights on. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today. Or mail it to P.O. Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Compromise of personal preferences or self-interests to serve some higher good is honorable. But some think compromise is the answer to all disagreements. A dispute between two women over who was the mother to a baby was brought to Solomon. He ordered a compromise: have the baby divided and give each mother half. Obviously, some things allow for no acceptable compromise. In those cases, compromise only works to the advantage of evil. For example, instead of obeying the Lord and coming out of an apostate church, you compromise the truth. Why should our children respect our beliefs if we don't? Something to think about. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march and anybody that would steal from us our liberties. Folks, I don't mean to ignore the local Reggetti debacle. It's just that I don't have enough information at hand to weigh in just yet. What a mess. Looks to me like the girly deck was coming at him, but what I'm reading is that the officer was attempting to pull the two cats apart. There's nothing resembling a cat fight, quite like two girls going at it. And according to this report, the officer decked one of the girls that was in the fight, and that's what triggered the other students to begin swarming the officer. So we'll see where this one goes. Now, I mentioned in the closing of the last segment that there is one part of the deal Obama is giving those who broke our laws, come here illegally, that he never mentions in his speech. This deal means they can become documented. It means they will be able to secure 3-year work permits, flooding the jobs market with competition for jobs when legal Americans are struggling. You see, Obama made this all about deportation. When everyone knows that the chances of deportation for your average illegal, such as those he described as deserving of this reward for breaking our laws, are not going to be deported anyway. So in reality, this entire speech was not even about deportation. It's about granting work permits that will allow businesses to openly hire these people and allow these workers to move openly into the job market without fear of being tangled up with ICE, and allowing businesses to hire them without fear of becoming lawbreakers themselves. Also, I understand these illegals will be given Social Security numbers, which will allow them to obtain all sorts of documentation that would allow them to bury themselves or to burrow deeper into the fabric of American life. It's a path to citizenship, all right. A path to citizenship by Obama fiat. And of course, they will be able to vote and pay taxes. Which are the two most important virtues of citizenship, according to Obama and his ilk? Law-abiding, well, that's nice. But, you know, when you have a president who spits in the face of law almost every day, well, you can see where that lands on the Democrats' list of values. Narrow it down, that's it. Vote Democrat. Pay your taxes so Obama can take his lavish vacations and play golf 2 or 3 times a week. And hey, you're in. Lawbreaking? No big deal. Mark Levin did a fine job of exposing the unconstitutionality or the illegality of Obama's actions. He made so many excellent points. He covered every one I might have come up with and more. And so if I started addressing that aspect of his actions, I would be really virtually repeating what that dear man has already brought out. Obama is rewarding his fellow lawbreakers, and he is doing it in violation of the law. Did you know that Obama has said repeatedly that he could not unilaterally address the immigration issue? In fact, Obama made 22 separate statements to the effect that he could not do, as president, what he has turned around and now done. A few weeks ago, Obama was confronted on this. Obama said that when he made those 22 statements, declaring that he could not legally do what now he claims he has the legal power to do, that he said this. He said, quote, "Actually, my position hasn't changed." He always does that. "When I was talking about the advocates, their interest was in me through executive action duplicating the legislation that was stalled in Congress," end quote. Once again, convoluted language. Well, I beg to differ, Mr. Obama, as does also the New York Times. Quote, the questions actually specifically addressed the sorts of actions that he is contemplating now. And quote, the Washington Post's fact checker awarded Obama the rare upside down Pinocchio, which means they view his actions as, quote, a major league flip-flop, end quote. But you don't need these guys to tell you that Obama's a major league liar. By now, you know that firsthand. On March of 08, Obama said, I take the Constitution seriously. The biggest problems that we're facing right now have to do with the president trying to bring more and more power into the executive branch and not go through Congress at all. And that's what I intend to reverse when I'm president, end quote. Oh, really? May of 08, Obama said, quote, we've got a government designed by the founders so that there'd be checks and balances. You don't want a president that's too powerful, or a Congress that's too powerful, or a court that's too powerful. Everybody's got their own role. Congress's job is to pass legislation. The president can veto it or he can sign it. I believe in the Constitution and I will obey the Constitution of the United States, said Obama. And he goes on, we're not going to use signing statements as a way of doing an end run around Congress, end quote. Are you kidding me? That was May of 08. Same month, a few days later, quote, comprehensive reform, and he's speaking about immigration issues. That's how we're going to solve this problem. Anybody who tells you it's going to be easy or that I can wave a magic wand and make it happen hasn't been paying attention to how this town works, end quote. July 2010, quote, there are those in the immigrants' rights community who have argued passionately that we should simply provide those who are here illegally with legal status or at least ignore the laws on the books and put an end to deportation until we have better laws. And he goes on, I believe such an indiscriminate approach would be both unwise and unfair. It would suggest to those thinking about coming here illegally that there will be no repercussions for such a decision. And this could lead to a surge in more illegal immigration. And it would also ignore the millions of people around the world who are waiting in line to come here legally. Ultimately, our nation, like all nations, has the right and obligation to control its borders and set laws for residency and citizenship. And no matter how decent they are, no matter their reasons, the 11 million who broke these laws should be held accountable, end quote. That's what Obama said in July of 2010. Now, October 2010, quote, I do have an obligation to make sure that I am following some of the rules. That's weird, isn't it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He says, I must make sure that I follow some of the rules. Not DOMA, not this, but some. And he goes on, he says, quote, I can't simply ignore laws that are out there. I've got to work to make sure they are changed, end quote. I can hear the immigrant reform activists screaming, well, you didn't think that way about DOMA. Anyway, and then on my birthday, October 25, 2010, I am president, he said. I am not king. Mama goes on, I can't do these things just by myself. We have a system of government that requires the Congress to work with the executive branch to make it happen. I'm committed to making it happen, but I've got to have some partners to do it. The most important thing that we can do is to change the law because the way the system works, again, I just want to repeat, I'm president, I'm not king. If Congress has laws on the books that says that people who are here who are not documented have to be deported, then I can exercise some flexibility in terms of where we deploy our resources to focus on people who are really causing problems as opposed to families who are just trying to support themselves. But there is a limit to the discretion that I can show because I am obliged to execute the law. That's what the executive branch means. I can't just make the laws up by myself, end quote. Okay, that was October 25, 2010. Now, March 2011, quote, America is a nation of laws, which means I, as the president, am obliged to enforce the law. I don't have a choice about that. That's part of my job. With respect to the notion that I can just suspend deportations through executive order, that's just not the case. Because there are laws in the books that Congress has passed. For me to simply, through executive order, ignore those congressional mandates would not conform with my appropriate role as president, end quote. And yet he did it elsewhere. Nevertheless, this is what he said, and some others. And I can't read all of these. If you want a complete copy of this list, call or email me and I'll have them sent to you. Here's one from July 2011. Quote, I swore an oath to uphold the laws on the books. Now, I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own. Believe me, the idea of doing things on my own is very tempting. I promise you, not just on immigration reform, but that's not how our system works. That's not how our democracy functions. That's not how our Constitution is written, end quote. And several more. For a total of 22 times that Obama said it would be contrary to the Constitution, contrary to our laws, for him to unilaterally act contrary to the law, specifically with regard to deportations. And now he's begun doing exactly what he said was against the law to do. In 2012, it started when he unilaterally granted deferred action for childhood arrivals, allowing eligible individuals who do not present a risk to national security or public safety to require temporary relief from deportation proceedings and apply for work authorizations, blah, blah, blah. In January of 2013, Obama repeated, quote, "I'm not a king, you know. My job as the head of the executive branch ultimately is to carry out the law," end quote. I know, it's mind-blowing. Then on February of 2013, Obama said again, quote, "The problem is that I'm the president of the United States. I'm not the emperor of the United States." And that's a problem for him, you see. "My job is to execute laws that are passed," not execute the laws that have been, okay. "And Congress right now has not changed what I consider to be a broken immigration system. And what that means is that we have certain obligations to enforce the laws that are in place," end quote. In July of 2013, he said regarding fixing the broken immigration system, quote, "This is a problem that needs to be fixed legislatively," end quote. In September of 2013, regarding immigration, he said, quote, "There's a path to get this done, and that's through Congress," end quote, and so on and so on. As you can see, according to Obama's own words and in his own judgment, he has decided to act as a king and as an emperor. My friend, one sure indicator that a nation has fallen into the path that leads to hell, that the judgment of God has indeed fallen upon us, is that God delivers such a people into the hands of tyrants and oppressors. Obama's actions are the actions of a tyrant. Every tin-horned dictator in the third world wraps his tyranny in the clothes of compassion for some alleged downtrodden group. In this case, Obama's championing lawbreakers and is indeed the champion of all lawbreakers in this country. I mean, he is the lawbreaker-in-chief. Nixon must be laughing uproariously out loud from his grave right now. The words of the preacher, "Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad," end quote. Ecclesiastes 1:1-7:7. So how do we keep it all together? How do we as believers maintain hope in a time of judgment and oppression? Or to put it as it was put to me some time back, "Jerry, how do you remain upbeat and positive and generally happy when you obviously carry such a heavy burden for this country?" And I'm going to answer that this Sunday night at 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse. Well, let's conclude the show today with a look at Obama's use of scripture. Oops, out of time. Tell you what, next week, my friends, but isn't it intriguing? He'll quote the scripture with regard to immigration, but he stays as far from it as he can on the issue of homosexuality and just about every other issue you can think of. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you agree with what I'm saying, lights off if you disagree. That number again is 1-888-770-8000, and you don't need the one if you're using a cell phone. If you want to email me, go to the website, www.thebrainmassageshow.com. That's www.thebrainmassageshow.com. On the right side there, as you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a place where you can write me an email message. If you're using your smartphone to access the internet and go to that website, just scroll down to the bottom and you'll find there a place where you can write an email message to me. In any event, do let me know what you think about the show today. 1-888-770-8000 or www.thebrainmassageshow.com. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Ask 100 churchgoers what connects them to their church and you'll get many different answers. Most, however, would not mention truth as their number one concern. Why? For many, church is about opportunities for socializing or family tradition, and the issue of truth is taken for granted. There's something wrong when a nation boasts 78% of the population is born again, with many of the largest churches in history, and yet we are in a moral freefall and Christianity is increasingly held in contempt. Think about it. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.